Praise the Lord. Most modern day church experts would tell us that we didn't stick with the theme by singing that last song. I have news for those guys. They just don't tell the whole story. They just don't tell the whole story. And I'm thankful that we have the freedom here at Key Life to tell the whole story. We've looked the last few weeks at the prophecies surrounding Christ. We've looked at so many things involving the birth of Christ, so many things that we lose sight of, and so many things that we have in our mind that are inaccurate or not true even. And today what I want to do, I want to look at the purpose of Christmas. The purpose of Christmas. Y'all pardon me, I'm sweating. Anybody wear a hair product? Huh? I got to wear a hair product because my wife likes me to poke this up in front. I'm like, if I leave it down, you can't see how bad I'm receding. But so the thing is, she gets me to stick my hair up and I have to use this product. And when I sweat like I'm sweating right now, it runs in my eyes. So if I wink at you this morning, I'm not really winking at you. My eyes stuck closed. Because it has happened. There was a lady sitting on the front row. Some of you might remember this. And I blinked and only my left eye opened. I'm looking right at her and I can't do anything about it. I didn't know if I just was supposed to go, "Har, matey!" Or what I did is I was just honest. "Ma'am, I'm not winking at you. My eyes closed shut." So if my eyes closed shut today, I'm not winking at you. But what I was saying is this. So many times when we talk about Christmas, we get to the time of year where we celebrate Christmas. Anyways, he won't do it much more, I promise. So we get to the time of year where we celebrate Christmas, and so many times we lose sight of the real purpose. And I'm not here to just beat that into your head today, though I would love to. I would love somebody to beat it into my head. Hey, man, don't lose sight of what this is really all about, because this is really not about a baby who stayed a baby and, oh, how cute he is, in there with some lambs and some donkeys and whatever you have in your nativity scene. This is about so much more. This is about thousands of years of prophecy being fulfilled. This is about what the Jewish people had been waiting for their whole lives. They had been taught from the time they could listen. They were taught about the Messiah who was to come. He was redemption in the flesh, here to rescue them. It's about us, those of us who aren't Jews here today, who have been extended grace and mercy and forgiveness through this new covenant of blood that Jesus Christ spilt for us at the cross. It's about those things. So to celebrate Christmas and just let Jesus stay that little baby in a manger, it irritates me. Because I know that's just part of the truth. Have you ever been watching a good movie? This is before DVR. Now you don't have this problem, right? If you're watching a good movie and you got to go somewhere, you just record the rest of it. And then you forget to watch it. 2 years later, you go, "Oh, I had the rest of that movie." And then you don't remember the first part that you didn't record. But you ever been watching a movie and you're really into the movie and your wife says, "Okay, honey, we got to go. It was time to go." And you wanted to know. I mean, it was probably at the gunfight scene, right? Where everything's about to go down. How many of you have ever seen the movie Unforgiven with Clint Eastwood? Huh? Can we just be honest in church? The best part of the movie is the end, right? Where he walks into the saloon. You know what happens? I won't get graphic. Everybody get mad at me. But it's an old Western movie. It's supposed to be like that. The thing is, what if you watch that movie? Because it's not really exciting until that point. What if you watch that movie up at that point? You had to go somewhere, right? You Clint Eastwood fans. Bummer. Right? Because the greatest movie line of all is when Gene Hackman tells me, "You just shot an unarmed man." And he said, "Well, he should have armed himself." he said he didn't need to go decorating his saloon with my friend, right? So the thing is, that's the best part of the movie. We all know that. I'm going to be honest with you. I've YouTubed it just to watch it hundreds of times. Just that part. Now, you can judge me if you want to. I'm a Clint Eastwood fan. I promise you, I'm flawed. At least he's conservative, right? The only one left in Hollywood. Huh? So the thing is this. Listen. What if you're watching that movie and all of a sudden, "Honey, we gotta go. You got to leave. You back? That's Daniel, everyone. Everyone say, hi, Daniel.
Hi.
All right. So, the thing is, when we talk about things like this, so many times we talk about the Christmas story and then we leave out the best parts. The best parts. It's like leaving out the last scene in Unforgiven. It's even greater than that. It's like leaving out the complete truth. Because here's the thing. If the world can just acknowledge little baby Jesus, right? Ricky Bobby theology. Oh, I like little 6-pound Jesus. Of course he does. 6-pound Jesus doesn't threaten your life. It doesn't cause you to change. It doesn't even convict you of sin. It's the grown Jesus when we talk about Him who went to the cross, who lived a just life before God, who was holy before man, and then He endured the cross, He endured death, and He rose again. That's a Jesus nobody likes to talk about, because if it gets that real, we might have to change something, huh? So it's a lot easier to talk about the Ricky Bobby Jesus. He's just this little baby Jesus. And I'm offended by that. I'm offended by that show and that phrase and all of that, but I'm offended by the fact that all we want to do is talk about little Jesus in the manger. We forget that He didn't come to be little Jesus in the manger. He came with a purpose. We're going to look at that purpose today. And you know what? The godly people of His time, the people who God revealed Him to, they recognized immediately who He was. Let's look at this. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. I know it's Christmas, so I only have about 25 minutes. Just kidding. Luke 2, verse 8. We all know the story, but don't miss the purpose. And there were shepherds. Y'all there? I'll give you a second. I want you to see this. Verse 8 says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Everybody say this. Put there by God. It was no accident that these guys were there. Hey, let me tell you something. I believe this. I believe their sheep led them to where they were going to meet this angel. That's how powerful I believe God is. No coincidence. These were the shepherds who were going to get to hear the announcement of the birth of Christ. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. It goes on in verse 11. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes. Some of your versions say swaddling clothes. You figure that one out. And lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to men on whom His favor rests. Would you underline that? Peace to men on whom His favor rests. Very important. Underline that. We're going to come back and talk about it. And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem. I imagine. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's check this out. And see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So watch this. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen Him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. It says, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Bet you did. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Don't you love it that God always tells the truth? Don't you love it that the agents of the Lord always tell the truth? We can take those things to the bank. The Word of God is always true. Amen. So as we look at this, I want us to see something. I want us to see, through this angelic pronouncement of the birth of Christ, I want us to see some things. Because in this pronouncement, what they do for us is they define for us the purpose of Christmas that a lot of times we just read through and we miss. Because we want to hurry and get to the manger. But did you know this? if the angel had not spoken to them the words that the angel spoke to them, they would have never made it to the manger anyways. So understand, this is God for the first time since Jesus has been born to this earth proclaiming His purpose. Proclaiming His purpose. Now watch this. We're going to look at this, and I want you to leave here today knowing that there was a purpose for Christmas. And here's not the purpose. It wasn't so that you can get presents. Amen, preacher. Tell them. It wasn't so that you could feed your flesh or your greed. Watch this. It wasn't so that you could get with your family and eat. Nothing wrong with that, right? Everybody likes to eat. It wasn't for that, though we do those things. We're going to look at the purpose of Christmas. What did this happen for? Because that's really why we're here, I hope. I hope we're here because we want to know, God, why do you do the things that you do? And even greater than that, why would you do anything for me? Because that's what I want to know. That's my constant question. Why would you do anything for me? We're going to talk about the word favor, and that means grace. We're going to talk about it in just a little while. But there are purposes to what Jesus came to do. Number one, I want you to see this. Verse 8 through 12, as we looked at that, it said, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Why? Because I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. He goes on to say, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find this baby wrapped in the clothes, lying in a manger. Let's look at that for a second. Purpose number one, if you're taking notes, is this. To bring people to God. To bring people to God. How many of you know this, that way back in the garden, sin separated man from God? Everybody remember that story? Adam and Eve made some not so good decisions. Horrible decisions. The Word of God says with that decision of that one man, it affected all men throughout the generation. And that it was up to Jesus to restore the relationship that God desired to have with man. Can I help you out today? God desires to have a relationship with you today. If you don't have a relationship with Him, let me say this. He desires to have a relationship with you. Watch this. Let me take it a step further so that I tell you the full truth. He cannot have a relationship with you in your sin. Are you listening? Your sin must be paid for. Jesus came so that He could bring people to God by coming to this earth not as a baby, but coming to this earth as a Savior. How many of you would say this? My greatest flaw is my sin nature. In fact, to be honest, every flaw that I have stems from that nature. How many of you would be honest and say, that sin nature is directly handed down to me all from my father all the way back until Adam, who sinned while he was in the garden. How many of you say that's what Scripture says? That's what I believe. Houston, we have a problem. And that problem is sin. And yes, we're going to talk about sin on Christmas. Man, I know. There we go. He's going to preach about Jesus again. You bet I am. Didn't you say you came here to celebrate His birth? Don't forget about what His purpose is. Jesus Christ came here to bring people to God. He came here as a Savior. That's what they told us. Don't be afraid. This is good news of great joy. Today in the town of David, a what? Savior has been born. Now let's talk about that for a second. If these guys were so perfect, did they really need a Savior? Now, first question I ask somebody when they come up with their religious lingo and they say, hey, preacher, I got saved. Okay. What'd you get saved from? Hell. No, you don't get saved from hell. You don't get saved from hell. Being rescued from hell is a byproduct of Him saving you from your sin. Sin was a thing that you would be judged for and cast into hell. So somebody sold you a bill of goods. They told you that your choice was heaven or hell. That's not a choice. Does everybody understand that? The fact of the matter is, here's the deal. If you have a choice at all, if God gives you that choice in that moment, your choice is to hold on to your sin or to repent of your sin. And only he who repents of his sin truly sees his need for a Savior. Because God has revealed that thing to that man, to that woman. And the purpose of Jesus is this, to bring men to God. Why? Because they couldn't get there on their own, could they? And so what Jesus had to do, Jesus had to cancel out the sin debt. How many of you are born again? You know it. Don't raise your hand, but just in your heart answer that question. Did you have a lot of sin debt before you were born again? Let me tell you what, I could fill this room up a million times probably. You could stack sin. And it only had to be about notebook paper thick. But the thing is, I could fill this room several times with the sin that I, as a person, have committed. And here's the thing, there was no way that I could ever right all the wrongs that I had done. Ever. But yet Jesus came to this earth to bring people to God. He righted all of our wrongs. The righteousness that God demands. How many of you know God still demands righteousness? The righteousness of God laid in a manger outside of Bethlehem. And he grew to a point where he was willing to go and to die as a sacrifice for your sin. That atoning sacrifice on the cross for you and for me, so that I could be brought to God. Don't you love when you talk to people and they get it all mixed up? Yeah, when I came to God. Wrong answer. You didn't come to God. You've only been taught part of the story. You don't come to God unless God draws you unto Himself. He came to you. Are you listening? So don't miss that this. When we see that baby in that manger, that was God coming to this earth. Watch this. To rescue mankind from their sin. It wasn't so you could have your best life now, or so you could have lots of money or fame or fortune or all this junk that they're selling in the parentheses of Christianity. It was because you needed a Savior and you were separated from God by your sin. How many of you would say that's gospel, that's true? It was only through Jesus Christ that you can be united with the Father. He came to bring people to God. He did whatever it took so that they could be rescued. Number two, we see this from this pronouncement of His birth by the angels. Look at verse 13. Verse 13 says, suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. So we see this, that Jesus' purpose in coming to this earth was, number one, to bring people to God. Number two was to bring peace to man. How many of you would be honest? Let's just talk about our personal testimony for a second. How many of you would be honest and say, before I knew Jesus Christ, there was no peace in my life? Oh, I was looking for peace. I was trying to find it in so many things. Hey, listen, sometimes we try to find it in good things, don't we? In career, ladies and family, raising your children, the busyness of life, our hobbies, our entertainment. We try to find peace in all sorts of places, don't we? Here's the thing, I could go before I was a believer, just like any of you before you were a believer, I could go sit out in the middle of the woods in a peaceful place, is what we would describe this as, and still not have true peace. Why? Because inwardly, I was wasting away because of sin. And Jesus came, according to what these angels just said, to bring peace to all who God's favor rests upon. Peace with God. Oh, I'm thankful for the peace that I have with God, because you know what? At one time I was an enemy of God. You say, Kirk, were you really? Were you like an atheist or something? No, I wasn't. I was a professing Christian, right? Because somebody told me that if I got baptized, then I'm good. So I went and did it, right? Guys, I went swimming at church. That's all I did. Some of you have gone swimming at church and your life has never changed and you don't have peace with God. Jesus came for so many more bigger things than just, hey, He's a baby in a manger. He came so that I could have peace with God. It's the greatest thing in the world to lay my head on a pillow every single night. And to know this, that no matter what happens to me in this flesh, I'm at peace with God. And I'm not at peace with God because one day I made some cool decision. I'm at peace with God because 2,000 years ago He sent a Savior to be born in a manger. That Savior grew up. That Savior went to a cross. That Savior died and shed His blood specifically for me, for all those of you who found favor in Him. And they buried Him and then He rose again victoriously. And I'm at peace with God. You know why? Because my hope does not rest on me, because I promise I have nothing to offer. Now, I know what you want to say in today's modern time. Don't beat yourself up. Listen, I don't want a false sense of self-security. I don't want your humanistic self-esteem. Because here's the thing. Until God erases the Apostle Paul's word that I am the chief unto sinners, I'm just going to keep believing I'm nothing too. Because the Apostle Paul understood it. He understood I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the worst of the worst. But yet I found favor in the eyes of God through His grace. Therefore, I am at peace with God. Here's the thing. If you're looking for peace with God today, you're not going to find it in your own actions, in your own merit, in your own works. He said, I bring good tidings of peace to those whom God's grace, His favor. Don't worry, I'm not going to embarrass her. She's not a teenager. She's got a baby. Who God's favor rests upon. You think about that for a second. If you're in Him, His favor, His grace rests upon you. Therefore, because His favor, His grace rests upon you, you are at peace with God. Or you ought to be. Oh, it's a good thing to know this. No matter what I do, no matter where I go, no matter what dangerous situation I find myself in, if I don't get out of that situation from a human standpoint, my deliverance has already been paid for. I will rest with Him for all eternity, no matter what, not because of what I've done, but because of what He's done. Why? Because that was the purpose Jesus came to this earth to fulfill. He came to bring people to God. He came to bring peace to man so that you can have peace with God, so that you can have peace through grace. There are lots of people who call themselves Christians and they're still trying to work their peace out. Still trying to earn it. Can I say to all of you, some of you I know, some of you I don't. I want to say it to all of you. You cannot earn God's peace by doing good things. Isn't it funny how people try to do that this time of year? Right? Hey, let's go pay it forward. Let's do something for other people. Let's go to the food pantry and hand out food. Let's go to the soup kitchen and stir up stuff for people who are in need. Those people are here all the time. But you want to do these things around Christmas because you kind of get it, but you don't really get it. The thing is, what you have to understand is this. You can't get peace through works. He said peace rests on those who found favor with God. How many of you know you can't earn God's favor? For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of works and not of yourself, so that you can't boast about it. I get so sick this time of year seeing all your social media posts about all the good things you're doing. Hey, let me just tell you this. Every comment you get on Facebook removes your reward in heaven for all the good things you did this Yuletide season. Look at me. I bought bikes for poor kids. The first comment that says, you're so awesome. You know what? Jesus said you've received your just reward. Jesus taught giving like this. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Don't do it so that you can be seen. Do it so that others can see God. Did you know that? Y'all are all going, man, I've canceled out so many heavenly rewards. How many of you remember during the hurricane when we all met and I said, do not post this on social media? Do you think I'm just being mean? I'm not the social media police. Because when we do things for God, we do things for God not to earn God's favor, but because we have God's favor. He says, don't do these things just so that you can be seen, so people can talk about how good you are. Because I promise you this, Kirk Hall is not good. Chief unto sinners, the wretch among the wretched, in and of myself, but in Jesus Christ, I have peace with God through His grace and His mercy that He offered me at the cross, period. That's the only righteousness that I have, the righteousness of Christ that was exchanged for my filth. Oh, what a Christmas gift, huh? Righteousness of Christ exchanged for my filth and my guilt and my shame. purpose of Christmas, to bring people to God, to bring peace to man. Let me say this, if you don't have His peace today because you have never received His grace in a moment, if you hear His voice speak to your heart, drawing you to receive that free grace. Oh, it's freely given, but I promise you, it was paid for at a great price. Jesus Christ offered Himself, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, on the cross to rescue you with that grace. If you hear His voice, surrender to that grace this morning. See what it's like to have peace with God and peace through grace. And then the last thing, and I hope you're still paying attention. The purpose of Christmas was to bring people to God, to bring peace to man. And verse 15 through 20 tells us, so that we could bring praise to God. Now, I know you thought this Christianity thing was all about you. I've been there, right? Jesus saves me. Jesus blesses me. Jesus takes care of me. Me. Right? I'm gonna mess up your theology. Can I do that for a second? This was never about me. Are you listening? Ah, that's gonna hurt your feelings. When you grasp this, though, you're gonna change the world around you for the glory of God. This was never about you. It's always been about Him. It's always been about God and what He's doing. We're going to talk about this right after the first year. We're going to talk about this in detail, that it's not about us. We forget that so often. It's about Him. And so as we look at this, look at verse 15. Verse 15 says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen Him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. They went and preached. Man, guess what they didn't do? They didn't go to Evangelism 101 on Sunday afternoon discipleship program. No, the angel revealed who Jesus was. They went and saw Jesus with their own eyes, and then they went and told everybody what was told to them. True. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They returned, listen, not saying, yeah, look at us. We're just out there minding our own business, and God, for whatever reason, chose us as the most prominent shepherds of the valley. And He sent an angel. We're like, what's up, man? The angel told us a few things because we were so awesome. And we went out. We got to hang out with Jesus. And we were the first people. Because God loves us so much because we're so great. No, that's not how it happened. Unfortunately, that's how it happens in modern-day Christianity, right? Because in modern-day Christianity, people are trying to earn God's favor. So when they do good things to earn God's favor, they brag about how good they are. That's stupid. That's the works He says don't do, because we know you're just going to boast about it. These shepherds, man, they were minding their own business, doing what they do every day, and God interrupted their life, just like it happened to me when I was saved. I was minding my business, doing my own thing, living in sin, and God interrupted my life and offered me His grace and His mercy. I promise you this, a true recipient of grace and mercy knows that it's not about themselves, but it's about bringing praise to the Father who sent His Son to die in their behalf on a cross outside of Jerusalem. To bring praise to God. You know, they didn't have to go to some class to learn how to praise Him. They just went to praising Him. Right? They didn't have to have a worship director begging them to pray. Praise Him! Come on, get your praise on! They didn't have to do that. They were so overwhelmed at the Savior that all they could do was praise the truth that they had received. Bring praise to God. So you mean to tell me that God didn't send His Son to this earth for me? Nope. I mean to tell you. Does it affect you? Oh, you bet. It affects you, doesn't it? You bet, 100%. But God sent His Son to this earth for Him, so that He could rescue you from the sin that enslaved you and entrapped you, so that He could rescue you. Why? So that you could turn around and praise Him for the God who He is, the wonderful, amazing, magnificent, all-powerful, almighty, sovereign God of the universe, who chose to rescue you by His own will. And these shepherds are praising Him just because, hey, He chose to reveal Himself to them. And they were excited about it. They praise Him. They praise Him for who He is. I pray this Christmas you would praise Him for who He is, not who you've created Him to be in your mind. For who He is. You say, well, who is He? He's love. He's just. He's wrath. He's magnificent. He's glory. He's worthy. He's holy. He's mighty. He's never ending. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. You want to keep doing this all day? Because we're not going to run out of things to say. Praise Him for who He is, not who you've created Him to be. Don't praise Him for little baby Jesus in the manger. Praise Him for sovereign God who had a plan that was bigger than your sin. And in that plan that was bigger than your sin, where your sin increased, His grace did increase that much more. And He sent His Son to this earth to rescue you, and He paid the ultimate price so that you could be set free. Praise Him like you really believe that. We can't even get a holy grunt out of Him. Praise Him like you really believe that. Be willing to praise Him when other people don't know how. These shepherds went back. You know, some of those folks thought they were crazy. What are these crazy shepherds talking about? They didn't stop praising. Praising for who He is. Secondly, praising for all He's done. I'll ask you this. When's the last time you just tried to exhaust the list of praise for all He's done? I mean, get on your face and say, I'm staying here till I run out of things that God has done for me personally that I didn't deserve, because you didn't. It's only by His grace. When's the last time you got on your face and said, I'm going to stay here till I run out of things to praise Him for? I promise you this, you better have your schedule free. Because you can't run out of things to praise Him for. These shepherds, I guarantee you, this changed their whole life. When you encounter the Savior, He changes your whole life. Those of you who truly know Him, I promise you, you will see all the things that He's done. Have you ever been just driving along and He show you something you hadn't seen before that He does? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Like, pull over or crash your car moment? Listen. I know some of you are too tough to do this, too prideful to admit that you do. I'm talking about where the tears are flowing so bad you can't even see the lines on the road anymore. You just got to whip over there. Let me tell you something, that doesn't make you weak. That means you know the truth. That means you know that He's worthy of praise. When's the last time in the middle of all your griping, in the middle of all your complaining, in the middle of all your belly aching, God revealed, yeah, but look at this great thing I've done for you that you're missing. Huh, moms? When your kids have driven you up the wall, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says, don't stop. Don't neglect the stop, excuse me. And praise God for the fact that you have those blessings because others desire them and they can't. Or others had them and they've lost them. Don't forget to praise Him for what He's done. I promise you. In the middle of the most negative circumstance, you can find cause to praise God because He's that glorious. You don't believe me? You ask Paul in the middle of a prison. Diseased, cold, dark, wet, awful conditions, and he found room to praise the Lord. And when he did, the walls started to bust and the gate flew open. Listen to me. When we praise Him, things happen. When's the last time you praised Him for all He's done? Because I promise you, the purpose of Christmas was so that God could receive praise, not so that you could receive gifts. You say, well, preacher, you're such a Scrooge. You're the bah humbug guy. No, I'm not. Listen, I don't have a problem with gifts. I don't have a problem at all. Tell the people you give them to, hey, it was by God's grace that I had a little extra money that I could buy this for you. And I felt led to do it. If you don't feel led to do it, let me help you out. Don't do it. Huh? What about my ex-step-grandmother-in-law? If you buy her a gift, man, you're letting the obligatory pressure of Christmas get to you. Right? Just wave at her next time you see her in Walmart. For you older people, Walmarts, plural. But the fact of the matter is this, listen. You have cause to praise Him for all that He's done. Don't get caught up in all the mess. Because He's worthy of our praise. It's not about, is this person worthy of my gift? Am I worthy of this person's gift or friendship? Right? How many people get your feelings hurt?
Well, they bought so-and-so a present, didn't buy me anything.
That's stupid. Because we get caught up, mixed up in all the wrong things, don't we? Jesus came to bring people to God. Bring peace to man. That there would be praise to God. Because He's worthy of all our praise. He's worthy. And so what I pray is this. I pray that Christmas be a time of praise and adoration. I pray that we go back to the first Christmas and we don't just read the story because we've read the story 100 times. But that we look at it and we say, man, this Jesus came to this earth with purpose. And He had a mission. His mission was to rescue guys like me and ladies like you. Men that are sitting all over this room who are in need of a Savior. Know what a wonderful Savior He is, and He is worthy to bring praise and honor and glory to our God in heaven for what He's done. Amen. You stand to your feet, every head bowed and every eye closed. A couple of questions and I'm done, I promise. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Question number one. Have you been brought into a relationship with God through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you in this lifetime heard His voice draw you out of your sin and away from yourself, lead you to faith and repentance? Receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Let me say this. If you have not, and right now you feel God telling you that you need to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus as your Savior, I pray this morning that you would be obedient to that. I pray this morning that you would surrender to that. You're here and you say, Jesus, I'm willing to surrender my life to You because there was a purpose, and that purpose was to bring me to You. And I'm not where I need to be. I'm not with You, God. But today, I want to turn from my sin and turn from myself and to trust Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If that's you, will you slip up your hand right now? Say, I need Jesus to save me this morning. Raise it up high. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. I need Jesus to save me. Would you keep it up high for me? Thank you, ma'am. Keep it up for me. I need Jesus to save me. I know today, after listening, that His purpose was to come to rescue me. I want to be rescued this morning. Keep those hands up for me. Anyone else that says, I want to surrender my life to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Those of you with your hand raised, look at me eye to eye. You believe right now God's telling you in your heart to surrender to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You believe that He died on a cross to rescue you from your sin. You believe that on the third day He rose again, just like the Bible said. Are you willing to turn from your sin and turn from yourself today to receive Him as Savior and Lord? Are you willing to do that? I promise you this, God's doing a work in your heart. If He's doing a work in your heart, He's drawing you to Him. I'm going to ask you to do something courageous right now before we ever play the first song. I'm going to ask you, ladies, if you would, come down. I'm going to need another lady over here. I'm going to ask you to come down right here. And they're going to take the Word of God. They're going to show you what it means to truly know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Anyone else who says, that's me, Kirk, I need Jesus to save me this morning. I need Him to wash me from my sin. I'm willing to trust Him as my Lord. So every head bowed and every eye closed. These two are coming forward to say, I need Jesus to save me because I realize today that His purpose was to give me life and forgiveness. Anyone else who says, that's me, Pastor, I don't want to leave here without surrendering my life to Jesus. Anyone like that? You're here this morning and you're a believer and you know it. You know beyond a shadow of a doubt. You surrendered your life to Jesus Christ and you say, man, Kirk, there's a piece that's missing in my life. Let me ask you this. Could that peace be because there's something in your life that you're forfeiting that peace because of? Maybe it's sin. Maybe it's that relationship that you shouldn't be having. Maybe it's your bad attitude. Maybe it's your negative attitude. Maybe it's all the things that we find ourselves wrapped up in. Maybe it's the bad choices that you make on a daily basis. We've all been there. Let me say this, child of God, if you truly know that you're His, that peace belongs to you, purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Stop forfeiting it for the things of this world. I'm going to give you an opportunity in just a moment. We're going to open this altar up and you can come and you can bow before your God. You can confess your sin. And aren't you glad that the Word of God is true? And 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But here's what has to happen. As a believer, you got to confess that thing. You got to get right. You got to make it right. Lord, I acknowledge that this is the thing that's stripping me of the peace that You died for me to have. And I'm turning from this, and I need Your help, Holy Spirit, to give me the power and the strength to walk away from it. In just a moment, the altars will be open. There'll be people down front to pray with you if you need prayer about these issues. But allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in your life. Maybe you're that believer who's here today. For whatever reason, maybe it's tradition, maybe it's a lack of humility, I don't know what it is, but you find it hard to openly praise God. I pray today that you would do something brave. That you would ask the Holy Spirit to teach you like never before how to praise God, not worry about what everybody else thinks. Because I promise you, God wants us to be just as jubilant and just as excited as these shepherds were about what Jesus Christ has done for us. Wherever you are this morning, allow the Holy Spirit to have His way in your life. You need prayer, these folks are down front to pray with you. If you need to come to the altar's open. But don't leave here missing out on the blessing of knowing that you're at peace with God, and that you're where He wants you to be.
You stood before creation, eternity in Your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. You stood shoulders, my soul now to rest.